This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Jordan Love's performance, how would you rate it?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And a beautiful play fake by Jordan Love.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Love takes, looks, throws, slant, right side, touchdown.
Earlier on the show, Steelers defensive tackle Cam Hayward. NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, actor Michael Chiklis. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. The very delightful and entertaining and talented Michael Chiklis is in studio. He's excited about his new movie, The Senior. You will be too when you see it in theaters nationwide next Friday, September 19th. He plays a 59-year-old football player. Is he like the Thornton Mellon of college football? Is that what it is? Football back to school?
Pretty much.
Is there a triple Lindy at the end? We'll ask him.
Let's hope.
He's all excited about that. His family's doing well. And we'll talk about the Patriots. That's coming up shortly here on the program.
Same record as you, buddy boy.
Red Sox and Yankees tonight. Lots to talk about with the man when he joins us on this program. We've already had a great time with Cam Hayward in hour one, Tom Pelissero in hour number two. If you missed any of it, don't you dare worry. We can be seen on demand on our Disney Plus page. As soon as this show's over, you can go right to our page, click the tile with today's show on it, and you can watch it whenever you want. Same thing throughout the entire weekend. There's our podcast version of the show, all 3 hours, the way you can take in any podcast. And also there's our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show for a lot of our videos. And then our friends at ESPN, I mean, they're putting our videos everywhere, which we see and we appreciate.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We definitely appreciate all that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. Let's take a quick phone call from Milwaukee, where we're on the air there in ESPN Radio.
Milwaukee.
ESPN Radio, by the way, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Yeah.
Mike in Milwaukee. What's going on, Mike?
Mike. Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for making it.
I just wanted to make a quick comment to make sure that in all the very deserved hype of Micah Parsons arriving in Green Bay and causing all the commotion that he's caused and just been such a spectacular addition, that we don't lose sight of a couple other things. One, it was expected that giving away Kenny Clark was like a one step backwards in the rush D for two steps forward in the pass rush. And the truth is the rush defense has been totally lights out. Like, Van Ness has moved inside. He's looked amazing. I don't think anybody thought he would be even in the discussion for a replacement for what Kenny Clark was doing, but he has been, and he's been fantastic. And the other piece is, people late last season and coming into this season had predicted a potential all-pro caliber breakout for Edgerrin Cooper, and I think it's absolutely been happening in the first 2 weeks. But I think a couple of those things have kind of gotten washed out, like I said, in the much-deserved hoopla over at Micah Parsons.
No doubt. Hanging with Mr. Cooper. That's what you're doing right now. And, and the defense has been terrific. Jeff Hafley already getting, you know, a lot of folks in my world are basically saying, hey, Packers fans, enjoy your defensive coordinator. He's going to be a head coach somewhere next year. You're going to lose him, which is a sign of an excellent team. Just look, you know, in your division at the team that's won it the last few years in Detroit. But the bottom line is, coming into the season, we always look at teams through the prism of the previous season. And the Lions were the one seed in the NFC. They got one and done by the Commanders, who made it to the NFC Championship game, and the Packers dominated both at home to start the season within 5 days. And that's the way that the season's starting in Green Bay.
One big additional point there is, historically speaking, if you look over the last 6-7 years, the Packers have really struggled with running quarterbacks. The pocket might break down. Rashawn Gary or the other guys, they might have made a mess of it. But then these quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts had huge success running the ball against the Packers. And Edgerrin Cooper has put an end to that, as we saw yesterday with Daniels unable to really get away, you know, take off with the ball.
Mike, thanks for the time, and congrats on your Packers starting off 2-0 and looking like the best team in football. We'll see what the Eagles look like against the Chiefs.
Yep.
And, we'll, you know, obviously they're going to kick back and watch the Vikings play on Sunday night against Atlanta, which is going to be in desperation mode, if you will, coming into that game. They'll watch the Bears and the Lions beat each other up. Hope that maybe somehow, some way, the Titans knock off the Rams. The Niners are all banged up. The Bucks are taking on the Texans. And they're going to just sit back and watch television. Already 2-0, taking care of business, holding serve in division, holding serve in conference at home in Lambeau, and looking the part and looking the role, and not even having Micah play a full game.
You know? Yeah. So, Rich, you said that like after the week 4 game, the page is going to get turned. Page isn't getting turned.
It's going to, because at some point we're going to get bored of talking about it.
Are we?
Yeah, we are.
Because
yeah.
Let's just say the Packers do what Chris and I think they do, or we predicted, and they go in the role, and the Cowboys really, really fall off, especially defensively. That's going to keep. We're not going to forget about this.
At this point in time, it's still so new, and Micah still is raw about it. He's raw about it, and then he's going to return in week 4, and then at that point in time, it's like, all right, it's all out of everybody's system. The media's done, other than just saying, man, Micah's incredible. Dallas shouldn't have traded him. It's just obvious. It's asked and answered, and then as things begin to ramp up getting into the playoffs, and if they go deep, let's just say he plays in an NFC championship game. Of course it's going to be brought up. He had to go somewhere else to get to the spot that Dallas hasn't been in 31 years now. And then he goes to the Super Bowl in the spot where, you know, the Niners play. And here he is in the Super Bowl. And that's all it's going to be talked about all week. That's the way it's going to go. That's my tea leaves for you. Just hang on for dear life through week 4. And in the meantime, you know, Jerry Jones was asked about it today as well. We don't have that soundbite just yet, but we're getting it later. That's the way our show is going to end. Oh, and baby. I believe it or not, I believe the subject of the matter is
Macca. Yeah, right, so.
By the way, Rich, I have a little beef with you.
Uh-oh.
Well, you know, you posted something on Instagram, on Twitter. I didn't like it.
It wasn't Twitter. It's Threads. Threads.
And then but then it got repurposed onto Instagram.
Yes, because Jay Culp is an Eagles fan, and he handles my and the show's social media accounts.
He
likes it when I have takes like that, and he wants to put it on Instagram for what's called engagement.
Well, I gave you some engagement. If I could.
I did see it. Okay. You said, delete this. Wow. Delete this. Absurd, the Cowboys traded Micah. Evergreen post. That's the way it's going to be at this point in time. Next game, he's taking on Cleveland. We'll see what happens there. Joe Flacco is 40. This kid's damn near half his age, going for him in a game where Myles Garrett is standing out there. Compare and contrast all of that stuff. See how it works. And then the big one on Sunday night at Dallas. They're on a bye the next week. Honestly, man, at that point in time, it's going to be like asked, answered, evergreen.
Rich, you know I respect you, right?
Oh boy!
Oh God!
Is that a different version of all due respect?
It is not. I truly do. Obviously, and Trent, I hold you in high regard in your opinion. But I got to vehemently disagree that a page will be turned, because there's going to be members of the media. Some of them we now are, I guess, channel mates with, who every Sunday when the Cowboys don't do well, will make sure that they put the spotlight on that.
Are you talking about Stephen A. Smith?
I don't want to drop any names. Yes, it's like Beetlejuice. If I don't say it, then maybe it won't come out.
One of my favorite moments of your early days on this program, being on every day, being an everyday player for the Rich Eisen show, was when Stephen A. Smith called in and you started talking Cowboy stuff. And he basically said, I don't know who you are. You seem like a nice guy, but boy, are you basically delusional. And he started going in on Dallas Cowboy fans. I'm telling you, at week 5, week 6, week 7, we'll have already been through all this.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have been through all this.
But you know,
now, how about this? How about this? The next time it might come up is if he makes Aaron Rodgers' night miserable. And it'll be one of those things. Well, Cowboys couldn't get past Rodgers, but he wins the day for Green Bay against Rodgers in a way that Cowboys fans would have loved for him to do, blah, blah, blah.
I would also like to point out,
Green Bay is successful with him against other opponents that have eviscerated or had a history of beating Dallas. That's another one.
Yeah. I also like to point out, when Stephen A. did come in and we actually met, he did say, I like that brother. So,
you're a likable guy.
That is true.
When we meet. But from afar, that's the Stephen A. you're going to get. And you know, my entire family, from Suze, Coop, yours truly, We are eager to see his videos on days
that
you're not happy.
See,
but I'm not deleting what you told me to delete.
I think
you
should.
And guess what? This. Later on, we're going to finish up with Jerry Jones talking about, what's his name again?
I don't know. Maca.
By the way, when we play it later, it's going to be the real McCoy. It's not Frank Caliendo.
Oh.
All right, guys, I do this every Friday, this is Friday, and it's like every other Friday, which is I look over the steering wheel at other matchups in the upcoming week that I'm looking forward to. My top five matchups for the rest of week two. Hit it.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right, here we go. Top five matchups of week number two. I'm looking forward to seeing. Number five is the Sunday night game. It's usually higher on the list, the Sunday night football game, but there's tons of other games that are intriguing to me. Number five is J.J. McCarthy's first home start as a Viking. How does he follow up that terrific fourth quarter that erased three quarters of dreadfulness in Chicago? By the way, hopefully he'll be getting some rest because he'll be going back and forth to the hospital where his bride is giving birth to their first child. Could you imagine? Is he 22? All of this stuff is happening. So he's got a kid in Huggies while he's dropping his against the Atlanta Falcons, who need this game. Gents.
Big time.
0-2 in conference to start their season. 0-2, period. 0-2 in conference. The toughest loss you can have is a home loss in division. That was what they suffered on Sunday against the Bucks. And then there's the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. That's a big one. And, of course, a rematch of the national championship game that I replay in my head every day between Michigan and Washington. Back in the day, J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix Jr. renew acquaintances. Number four on the list is the DK Metcalf revenge game, if you will. We had Cam Hayward on in the show before. In hour number one, he said DK Metcalf told him he's had at least 20 tickets for this game, with Seattle coming to the Steelers' home opener and DK Metcalf's home opener as a Steeler. Seahawks and Pittsburgh, and the Seahawks need this one too. I mean, they lost just like Atlanta at home in division, and the Seahawks need to get a good game out of Sam Darnold, who reportedly... the Steelers were kicking tires on before they landed on Rodgers. And so this is an interesting game, to say the least. And the Pittsburgh Steelers can go to 2-0 before taking a visit to New England for yet another Rodgers sort of spin around the league tour of places that he has been unwelcome. And then the Seattle Seahawks after this game are home against New Orleans. So they can get some sort of a momentum going. How will this look? Will the Steelers' run defense and running game be any stouter against the Seahawks defense that Mina Kimes came on Thursday show and called a top five defense? So we'll see how this one plays out. Early window on Fox. Number three is one of the two Monday night games. The NFC South favorite, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, opening up a week two game on the road again, going into Houston, licking its wounds from a dreadful week one Sunday in SoFi against the Rams. I mean, is it possible the Texans start the season 0-2 and look at the Colts or Jaguars 2-0? Now suddenly they're two games out of first. That would be a surprise.
Big possibility.
Can the Texans protect C.J. Stroud? Is there a run game anywhere? Nico Collins, line one is yours. Let's see what's going on here. This is the early window Monday night football game on the ESPN family of networks. Can't wait for this one. Number two, Ben Johnson returning to Detroit, where all national eyes and local eyes are on the Lions, wondering, do they miss Ben Johnson? Can Ben Johnson get things more on the same page with Caleb Williams in time for his return and leave the Lions 0-2 suffering both losses in division to start the season, coming up with a win on the road in division? This is just massive. Early window on Fox. Can the Lions turn the page from the narrative that the Packers salted, that they missed their coordinators and they're not the same team? What are we going to see when the Chicago Bears and Ben Johnson return to the spot where the Lions apparently miss him? And number one is the obvious. It's the rematch of the Super Bowl. It's the Eagles and the Chiefs, who have not been 0-2 since the 2014 2014 season. That was Andy Reid's second of 13 years there and the only time in Andy Reid's tenure in Kansas City that they did not make the playoffs. And the Philadelphia Eagles, as we remember last year, even if they lose this one, they started 2-2 and then put the pedal to the metal and won the Super Bowl. So is A.J. Brown going to be left reading a book again until the final drive? Could Devontae Smith be targeted a bit more? Remember, the run defense of the Cowboys did keep Saquon Barkley to just 60 yards rushing, and we're going to see a bigger game from him. Will Xavier Worthy play? What will the Chiefs look like? That's a massive one late window on Fox.
We have one more. Thank you. I did not know this.
That's my boy Coop.
Coop.
And here we go.
Here we go.
One more. And it's the last game of the weekend. 10 p.m. Eastern kick. 7 local time in Las Vegas, Nevada. The two teams that started 1-0 in the AFC West. The Chargers at the Raiders. The Raiders, can they follow up that win in New England with another one at home against a Chargers team that looked like one of the best teams in the NFL in Brazil? They are on the road once again because Chris Brown's in SoFi. He's occupied. Yep. So the league told us when Mike North came on this program and said that we had to put them. They couldn't put them at home after Brazil. So we put them as close as they possibly can to their home for a road game as late as they possibly can be in the week. It's the last game, 10 Eastern time, and we all know it's the What's Your Deal, Bro matchup that we all saw Stanford and USC back in the day, and then Seattle, San Francisco in Jim Harbaugh's first go-around as an HC in the NFL. And Pete Carroll was asked about seeing Jim Harbaugh once again in this big Monday nighter.
I remember Jim... No, I don't. I have no fond memories. I'm not going to go there. They're great games. They've been great games. That's all.
He said that
been a bunch of
you guys in a different life could have been great teammates. When he says something like that, what is that?
I think that would come from he's seen my game, and so he would like me to help him win. You know, if I could, and so he'd like us to play together, I guess. One thing we would certainly see eye to eye on is about competing. He's always been a great competitor, and he battled through so much in his playing days and in his coaching days as well. So I appreciate him saying that because I'd like to play with him too.
He said that you're not on each other's Christmas – or he's not on your Christmas card list. You expect a birthday card from him then?
Well, I'm surprised he would say that because he sends me a birthday card every year. So I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, wow, Pete. Cracking jokes. Is he hanging out with Carrot Top now in
that
Vegas?
That is amazing.
Moves to Vegas and he's suddenly 2-drink minimum, Pete Carroll.
Hey,
he was asked, by the way,
the
setup for the first soundbite. He was asked of his fondest memories coaching against Jim Harbaugh. And that was his response. He tried to make a joke. And then he was honest. There are no fond memories. I don't have any fond memories.
There were games, lots of them.
He turned 74 on Monday.
Oh, is that
what
right?
A legend.
Is that what so it's his birthday that night?
Yeah, his birthday's on Monday.
I'm sure he'll love, his age being discussed, but he's still the world's youngest teenager, according to Jim Brockmeyer. Teenager. Now that
Dick Clark is no longer with us.
That's what he said back in the day. So and that's my top five list of the other matchups of week 2. I'm looking forward to seeing the most. Now I look forward to seeing Michael Chiklis come out of our green room. Can't wait to see our friend Michael Chiklis back here, and can't wait for you to see the senior in theaters near you nationwide next Friday, September 19th. What is it that makes the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid an incredible SUV? Is it the spacious interior that's comfy for the whole crew? Or the capability to go off-road? Maybe it's up to 600-plus miles of range. Is it the driver behind the wheel? What if it's all of that and more? What is it then? The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. So much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. That's 562-314-4603.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by Sheen.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
The Senior, available in theaters nationwide next Friday, 1 week from today. You play a guy named Mike Flint based on a true story.
It's a true story. No, you know what? I got to correct you because most movies say based on a true story. Yeah. This one should say this is a true story.
Bingo.
Because Mike Flint was right there off camera the whole time.
On the set of this movie.
On set.
And Mike Flint is who? Explain to
people. Mike Flint is a guy from Texas who went to Odessa Permian. Is that how you pronounce
Permian,
it?
Permian, I think.
Permian, something. Sorry. Right.
And Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, Friday Night Lights. Yeah, he was the captain of that team, won that championship, went over to this a big feeder of the Lobos, this team that he played for at Sol Ross State University. West Texas football is like a religion, right? So he went there, and he was the captain of the team in the first week of his senior year. They were supposed to go undefeated. And he saw a freshman outside of the dorm after curfew, told the kid to go in. The kid told him to F himself. He threw down with him, broke his nose. Next day, he not only gets thrown off the team, but thrown out of school. And he left with his tail between his legs. Like 35 years later, he receives a reunion invitation. Mm-hmm. He thought it was an error. His wife's like, no, I want you to go get this monkey off your back. You got to exorcise these demons.
Right.
And he went to do that, to apologize. And he gets there, and the boys, it's like no time passed. And they're like, hey, man, you look like you could, because he was a strength trainer, you know. And he looked good, and they were like, hey, man, you look like you could still run with him. And joking, he was like, yeah, I probably could. And they were like, well, you're eligible. And he was like, I'm what? So he got it in his head. And right then, they were doing trials for the new team. He calls his wife and he's like, honey, I'm having a great time with the boys down here. I'm going to just stay for the weekend. And she didn't know. And he tried out for the team and he made it. And he played, you know, and she lost her mind. She was like, what are you doing?
Age 59.
59. You're gonna kill yourself. So they made a deal. She's like, if you're going to do this, then you're going to go back to school and get your degree. You're going to make good on it, you know. And the thing is, look, it's like any great sports film, this is a redemption tale.
Sure. Yeah,
football is the backdrop for this movie, and it is a football movie. And so I got to tell you what, this looks like a $40 million movie. It doesn't look like the small independent that it is. It has scale, and we got it on the screen. And the great Mary Stuart Masterson plays my wife, and she's brilliant. But those boys, they're fantastic, and they all played football.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew what they were doing. You know, I got to tell you, to play football and slam into these 20-something-year-olds again after all these years.
Yeah.
I was just terrified something was going to break, that I was going to hear a snap and that would be it. You know, so the fact that the second to last shot of the movie, I was finishing, I was sprinting.
Yeah.
I pull up, and just as I'm pulling up, pow, my right calf pops.
No.
And I had one shot left. But fortunately, it was a close-up in here, and we were all panicking. I said, I know what to do. Sit me on a dolly and push me fast, and I'm gonna make like I'm running. And that's how we got that last shot at 4:30 in the morning, just before the sun rose.
With your calf just throbbing?
Just ripped. Just, you know. Like,
did you say to any of these kids, I'm Vic Mackey, man. You gotta be kidding me. I got this. Come on, man.
That's why I was so psyched about that scene, the rubber band man scene, because when they first met me, they were all afraid of me. The boys, they were like, oh, yes, Mr. Chiklis, yes. And I'm like, relax, you know. So it was a great scene where they got to mock me, and I sort of tossed myself up for it. I was like, go ahead, mock, you know. And then that was it. We were a team at that point. We had a blast.
I love it, man. The Senior is available in theaters nationwide next Friday, September 19th, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, man, TB12 is TB12 Pug is fine. He's 11. He's
awesome.
He's like me. He's old, but he's a stud.
Well, I thought you were saying he's like the
actual TV.
The actual TV.
That guy.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, you know, is great deep into his dotage, football dotage, too, man.
Speaking of deep into your age, just so you know, LeBron James wrote the foreword to the book of the same title, The Senior.
Okay.
Because he saw this story, you know, on ESPN in the early aughts, you know, when he did this. He did this in like 2002 or 2004.
Right.
When I met Mike, he was 74 years old, and I shook his hand and I went, "Oh, okay, you did this."
That's
you
know right. what I mean? You could feel it.
I went, "Oh man," you know, he had that deep strength, like guy that benches 370 at 70 years old.
he could give you five snaps right now in the game at age 74.
I wouldn't mess with him on a bet, Rich. I'm not kidding you. Not on a bet.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. Great fun. And again, some of the best sports movies are exactly what you're talking about. Redemption, The Rookie, obviously, in baseball.
Mark Ciardi produced that movie. This guy who produced this movie, by the way, it took 18 years to make this movie.
No kidding.
And talk about, you know, you hear about independent movies. Oh, it took 5 years to make. It took 7 years to make. This took him 18 years till now. And the guy was so emotional when it opened the other night because that's an odyssey, man. And that's perseverance. And, you know, this guy, he did the Rookie. He did Secretariat. He did. How about Miracle?
Heard of
it. One of my favorite sports films. So he knew what he was doing. Yeah. And the great Rod Lurie, what a wonderful director. We had such an incredible rapport. I can't, you know, I'm sorry to go on and on
that's
about the
right.
movie.
You're proud of it, man.
I'm really proud of it. And it's one of these movies you want to see in the theater. The fact that we're opening in 2,000 theaters speaks volumes about the quality of the picture, because right now you don't get in 2,000 theaters countrywide unless you're a Marvel movie or a horror movie. Really, you just don't. Another mixed sports metaphor, it sticks the landing. The movie, it really gets you there emotionally, and it's fun and funny and emotional, and then you leave feeling like the world isn't ending, and we need that right now.
You're right, sir.
You know,
on that one. And I think that's what you're watching some NFL games as well right now. This weekend would do that sort of thing.
And you don't want to see a football game by yourself. You got to go to the theater and see this with a group of people because you find yourself going like, go, man, go. You know, it's really exciting.
You see the same way about Drake May? Is that what you're saying?
Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah, you saw Bill Burr here the other day, right?
I did.
Do you want to chime in on Bill in North Carolina, or what do you want to talk about?
I don't. Bill.
But your Patriots right now, 0-1, Vrabel's back. You kind of feel like...
I love Vrabel. I do. When I first met him, they were backstage at the ESPYs. Here they come, right? And here's TB12, and he's the small guy. You know, TB, and he's with his lineman next to him.
Yeah.
And here comes Vrabel, looking like what Superman should look like, because he's in a tuxedo and his hair slicked back and black at that time, you know. And he looked like he could literally look like go like this and like fly away. I mean, so I chose him because I like to offer myself up for comedy, and I literally went to chest bump him, and I ended up sort of lower bumping him because I'm 5'9 on my birthday and this guy's like 6'7, 230
massive,
and ripped.
Yeah.
And I go, the harder you fall, mother, you know. And he cracks up laughing and he pats me on the top of
my
head.
God.
Wait, I have a big head and his thumb hit my ear and his pinky hit my other ear. And I thought, he palmed my head like a basketball. And I thought, oh, he could crush my skull. I could be dead right now. And they laughed. It was great.
I saw him last. I saw him was at in Lake Tahoe at the American Century Championship, the celebrity golf tournament that I had.
I want to play that.
Oh, by the way, I could tell you all about it. It was one of the great. It is the greatest weekend. It's incredible.
Invite me.
Okay, very good.
Get those guys to invite me.
How's your golf game?
Pretty good now. I'm back. I left it for a long time, but I'm back.
Another guy's going to finish in front of me.
Let's go.
But the reason why I bring it up is Vrabel's there. I'm there, and I hadn't seen him yet. I'm sitting at one table. He's sitting at a table just right where Chris is, right over there. And we look at each other. He's sitting and looking at me. I'm looking at him. And he's got a glass of red wine in his hand, and he just goes like this to me. He waved his pinky at me.
which was just like waving my arm. I'm like, the guy's just such a beast.
I'm like, okay, like we'll work up to the full hand next time.
He just did this.
He was palming the glass like your head, you know. And he's just an interesting cat, and but the fact that he's back there, just,
I believe in him.
You
know, I do.
Exactly, like you're like an in Vrabel we trust.
I do.
And
I
McDaniels
believe,
is there to help.
Chris, you know, feel good?
OC
I feel
great. Drake May.
I feel great. But I would have liked to have seen a little bit more out of the offense last week, but. Let's just chalk it up to week one.
I wasn't panicked by that game. I was like, all right, you know, look, you guys get ahead of yourselves. It's game one. I mean, you know, like it's a long season. You said earlier someone was the best team in football. I'm like, wait, how do you know that?
I said the Packers looked like the best team in football.
Oh,
I just need to point that out because you're right. I mean, to come out and say 5 days in, this is the best team in football and make such a declarative statement. You're running the opportunity of not aging well on that front, unlike you in your movie. So
health is everything. Too.
I do want to back off on I'm not calling them that. I'm just saying they certainly look that way.
They look good.
And they look good. They could go if they go down to Miami.
Well, speaking of health is everything, Roman Anthony broke my heart, man.
Yeah.
Because you've been on a press tour.
I heard it was 10 days and he was back.
He's probably out for the season, barring a run to the ALCS.
This is a tough run going in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got the Yankees Red Sox tonight.
Let's go.
Let's go.
It has not gone well for the Yankees this year.
It has not.
That's so great.
Have they won two games against the Red Sox this year?
Is it 8-1 or something?
No, the Yankees won one the last time. They won two, I believe.
No, they did not. They won one.
That's it?
Just only
the one? That's it? They swept the Yankees every other time we've seen them this year?
I don't even know if they won one. I think the last game they won.
They did.
Eight and two.
They've won two.
Maybe I'm just wishful.
Yeah. This is maybe going to decide who plays who where in the wild card. Red Sox, Yankees in a three-game, I think, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I don't think either one of our teams are going to catch the Blue Jays. And it's possible you can because you play them again. So you can catch up quickly by actually beating them head-to-head. The Yankees have lost the season series to them decisively. So there's
Can I ask about the Blue Jays?
Please.
What happened?
They're a good team.
They really are. But, I mean, they're really good.
They rake. They rake and they pitch well.
They got a legit ace. I mean, Kevin Gausman, legit ace.
Their bullpen is susceptible, unlike yours. Ooh. I don't. You want to ask where the hell did this come from? You need pitching, right? Where did Aroldis Chapman come from? He finally got touched this week.
Hadn't given up a hit in 50 batters.
While you were going on your entire press tour, 50, like he threw a no-hitter for 50 batters.
Yeah, I think some of these guys are, you know, Giolito, people are stepping up in a way that I think is surprising, but they're deep. And, you know, and I love that kid's on the Red Sox because he went to school with my daughter. Harvard Westlake.
Yeah.
They got some guns over there, man.
Max Fried.
It's great seeing these kids.
Yeah, I know.
And they're good kids. Now they're men, you know.
Yes.
Just totally studs on the circuit.
I know.
It's great to see it.
It's good to see you here too, bud. So what do you get the most when people come up and see you?
That's what I love about my career. I get such a mixed bag.
I bet you do.
But deliberately. Vic Mackey a lot.
Still to this day.
Yeah.
I know I just referenced it earlier in our conversation.
The thing, it's clobbering time constantly.
Like people yell that out at you?
Yeah, but I love it when someone will go like, woo, 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 you know, because I played Curly in the Three Stooges. And, true fans, you know, people like reference things that aren't as well known. And, in the commish, people still come up to me. That's from the 90s, man. But what's kind of upsetting is when like a grown ass 40-something year old, middle-aged man comes up to me with his children and goes, Mr. Chiklis, I grew up watching you. And I'm like, thank you.
Oh, I know. I get that all the time with SportsCenter. Yeah. I get grown men and women with their children.
Yes.
Coming up and saying that Stuart Scott and I either put them on a school bus to start the day or kept them up at night when they were in college.
I used to sit with my parents on Saturday night and I got to sit up late and watch you on the commission. I'm like, how old are you? Like, I'm 48. Hey, I'm like,
I remember, I always got a kick out of Keith Jackson during a college football game on ABC, reading what's coming up tonight on an all new commish.
He would always
that's read, fun. You know, in the same way that Pat Summerall would say, coming up later, 60 minutes followed by murder. She wrote, because he would always pronounce the comma by pausing. And Keith Jackson would all go, an all-new commish.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Tonight. And I would always get a big
look. Oh, that's fantastic.
What's your favorite Vic Mackey scene? Like, which one are you most proud of?
That's like picking your children.
I know.
I
understand
honestly,
that.
Honestly, 7 years, honestly... my two favorite episodes of The Shield, my three, are the first one and the last two.
Why is that?
Well, they're just, you know, there's just things that happen in them that just don't happen in television. You know, the last moment of the first episode of The Shield is not something that happens where your protagonist, you know, becomes a murderer, you know, and you sort of go like, okay, where are we going? You know, and that's another thing, you know, in a silly world that we live in, you know, where you have these action pictures where guys, you know, kill 15 people in the first act, and it sort of trivializes it, and there's no weight to it.
Mm-hmm.
What I loved about what Sean Ryan did was that original sin from the first episode is the thing that goes to, like, I'll ask people, how many people do you suppose Vic Mackey killed in the course of the 7 years of the Shield? And they'll be like, 50? Three. And it's because that original sin, you know, when someone kills someone, it's a huge thing, and it shouldn't be trivialized like that. And we gave it the weight and import that it deserved. Sorry to get heavy. It's a morning show.
No, it's great. I asked you. It's not real. Like you were doing a comedy. Right. So the last two episodes were...
Well, that's the confession scene. You know, when he confesses all of his sins, but he has immunity. In the second to last episode, and then the last episode, you know, I mean, family meeting.
You look like you're getting emotional just talking about it.
Well,
right now,
you know, listen, that was a incredible odyssey in my life, and to see my friend Walton Goggins crushing it,
killing it.
Listen, I've been preaching his name for a million years, and finally to see him getting his due, it's like, hey, you feel, you know, like, yeah, that's right. That's my boy, you know, he's crushing it. Everybody's doing really well from that show. You know, it's great to see. We're all flourishing, you know, and you just want health and you want your kids to do well, and that's it.
Beautiful,
you know?
Man. You're one of my favorites. Good to hear
Richie.
That. Good to hear.
You're one of my favorites.
I appreciate that. Until tonight.
Even though you're a Yankee fan.
I know, until tonight.
Yeah, right?
Until the first pitch tonight.
You know, his only flaw, really.
Nice guy over
Every
there.
Every once in a while I do it to him. I'll text him like,
I get it. I see it. I see you.
Yeah.
And you'll see this man in theaters, the senior, available in theaters nationwide next Friday, September 19th. Make a note of going to the movie theaters and seeing this one. Great to see you, my friend. Come
Thanks
back
for
anytime.
Having me, Richie.
Anytime, man.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, it's Michael Chiklis right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We will be back to wrap things up with Jerry Jones's latest. Hang on to your hat, TJ. That's coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. As always, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Good stuff over here, everybody, on a Friday. As I mentioned, TJ, on this program.
Yes, Richard.
At some point... The Micah's been traded from Dallas to Green Bay. He's balling out there, and I can't believe the Cowboys traded Micah to Green Bay. Stuff is going to die down.
Mm-hmm.
Today, however, is not that
not
day.
Not that day. Got it.
So not there yet.
Didn't think it would be.
Well, I mean, Micah balled out on Thursday night.
Sure did.
And despite the back, played 29 snaps and 44 snaps. What is that? 78 snaps in the span of 5 days. Right? Did I get that right? No, I didn't.
What was it? 55 and what?
29 and
84. 84.
Whatever. He balled out. Yada, yada, yada. He looks spry. And we're all wondering what I wondered on Instagram. And you said for me to delete this. And yeah. I'm not going to.
I know you're
it is absurd your that the Cowboys traded Micah Parsons' evergreen tweet. That's one reason why 2 weeks they're, for them, they're playing the Cowboys on Sunday night. So the whole country's going to be talking about that then. And as I said, at some point it's going to die out.
So yeah, we'll delete the Micah soundbite then?
Well, because again,
the page will be turned.
At some point, you know, Jerry Jones on his radio show always sometimes would be like telling the guys who were interviewing, he'd lose patience with him, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he was the one I didn't want to jack around with you today or something like that.
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
Okay. Like, so at some point, keeping on asking him about what's the name of that guy?
Micah.
Okay. He's not going to want to talk about it. But at this point in time, we could still kind of pepper him with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you saw, did you watch the Amazon post game?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you hear what the fans were chanting as Micah showed up?
Oh, yeah, Rich, I did.
Chanting, thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
So Jerry Jones today, is this on 105.3, the fan? Okay. So he's talking Tuesdays and Fridays?
You got, wow.
Twice a week?
It seems like it's Monday through the next Monday, to be honest with you.
All right. He came on today and he was asked, did you hear the thank you, Jerry chants?
The way they're playing, the way Green Bay is playing, I'm all for them. Enjoying and chanting anything that they really want to play. I understand that. You know, this is such a laydown to me with back when we traded Herschel Walker. I just can't tell you the kinds not criticism, but naysay when we took what arguably then was by many the best player in the NFL. And we got, of course, future picks, got players and future picks at the same time. And so if you make a move on a top player, this shouldn't surprise anybody that we would have that kind of reaction from their fan base, the other team's fan base, or for that matter, our fan base in general. And I knew this was coming. Almost the day I walked into training camp, I knew that if I got to make this trade, that this would be there and coming.
Oh, walking into training camp because
so
didn't you say for you to sleep? Lie?
Yeah, I was lied to. I feel like
no,
because I was told to sleep tight, night. I ain't slept right.
Don't lose that sleep over it.
What I believe Jerry is saying is he keeps bringing up the Herschel Walker trade, which, by the way, involved 18 players and draft picks.
Yeah, that's why we can't
at the end of the day
to Herschel Walker.
Initially, they traded Herschel to the Vikings for 5 players, 3 draft picks, and additional conditional picks.
And then we cut all the players and
but
got
what
picked.
He's saying, because obviously this is one player and 2 firsts, which is vastly different from yada, 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 18 players in all. What he's saying is, at the time, mm-hmm. people thought they were crazy for trading their best player. And what ended up happening was a dynasty. So his way of saying is that what's similar, it's not the draft compensation. It's the people think we're nuts. Just sit back and see what happens to us. And we shall. It's just that this fella, what's his name again?
Micah.
He's coming to town in 2 weeks.
Oh, so, I hate it so much.
It's coming. But one day, as I said, this will not be the incessant topic of conversation. It's just today's not that day.
You don't believe that.
Next week will not be that week. The week after certainly won't be that week.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious. Seriously.
And so when it's all said and done, Green Bay looks to be the one poised to be super this year, Dallas not. But his point is like, hey, judge us when it's all said and done.
Yeah. When we get the 32nd pick in the draft next year?
That's the issue.
Right.
Is that it's damn near a second round pick, but it's just that comes with a 5th-year contractual control. Unless he trades that first for other picks and then starts to spread this thing out in the same way that the Herschel Walker trade did. But there's a long way to wait for that.
Yeah, I know.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness. This is so
that's
long.
The fence in Green Bay to wrap up this show.
Micah.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.